Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey, everybody. Welcome to More Than That. This is a podcast where we at City Church sit down with the speaker for the previous Sunday, and we just ask them a little bit of what else they would go into. And I'm sitting down with...
Rafael Mkanda, yes.
And I'm Tyler Henry. So, Rafael, if you had 10 extra minutes, what would you have said?
Yeah, probably like when it came to that, just maybe spending a little bit more time kind of just really pressing in the importance of truth being at the center of our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just almost like something about even just practically, let's say, for example, like we want... One of the things that I do as a pastor is probably like call back a lot of people. It's first of all maybe people asking, "Hey, could I put you as a reference?"
Mm-hmm.
Could I put you as a reference? And then when you put as a reference, all those companies, they call who? They call me to ask me if you're truly legit.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. that just like, well, what are they trying to find out about that?
Mm-hmm.
References are actually witnesses by which basically like you are confirming, hey, this person, like, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? So mm-hmm. I think I probably do that. I probably do a couple of those every single week.
Mm-hmm.
A reference to people's characters and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And with that said, so that actually then, in order for us to, we're looking at the culture, we're seeing that we are a culture that really obsesses over the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then so therefore it should even be more in the church where the truth should become like something that is very, very valued even more.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of was just enjoying even one section I didn't get to get into would have been like just looking at Jesus and how he viewed the truth,
mm-hmm.
how he circled himself around the truth. Like where at the end of the mm-hmm. day, he anchored himself in the truth so much that like number one, he longed for the church to be a place where the truth thrived. And John 17 is the passage I should have, I really wanted to go into.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus is praying, he says, Your word I've taught them, you know, protect them. And like, and he actually then paints a picture and says, man, they will know them by the way they love one another and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But 17:17, kind of John 17:17 says, how then do they become this amazing community that beams with truth and all that mm-hmm. stuff? He says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, basically, at the end of the day, like, Christianity is a signing up of God's truth working in us
mm-hmm.
and working holiness in within us in such a way that, like, everything that we see in John 17 that we long for in the body of Christ is actually really, at the end of the day, it's God using his word to make us clean, right?
Mm-hmm.
To sanctify us. And then also just Jesus is going to say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. So Jesus is the embodiment of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Such a way that then followers of Jesus ought to be embodiments of what? Truth.
Yeah.
If we follow him. And then if we really just like, you cannot be saved unless you have the Spirit of God dwelling in within you. John 14:17, the spirit of what? Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him. He dwells in within you and will be in you. So you're just kind of looking at all that stuff. So there's probably just kind of like maybe looking at if our faith is a Trinitarian faith that really, really like, and we're being conformed into his image, what should we embody? We should embody the truth. And Deuteronomy chapter 32:4 says, God is the rock, his work is perfect, and for all his ways are justice, a God of truth without injustice, righteous and upright is he. So that's me just basically saying, God is truth. God is actually what? He's a God of truth. Jesus is the truth, is the way, the truth, and the life. And then at the same time, the Holy Spirit, he's the spirit of truth. And that's used a couple of times even in that John 14, 15, 16. Because in John 16 as well, however, when he, the spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you, look at this, into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. So just kind of like looking at all that stuff, it's just like the pathway of discipleship is a pathway of embodying truth. And then therefore, and then saying embodying truth is embodying God, is embodying Jesus, is embodying the Holy Spirit. So basically, like, if we were to kind of look at all this stuff, we talked about dignity the other week. And just basically say, like, one of the ways you know you're growing discipleship is when your view of yourself and view of others is actually what? Aligning with God's word, which is actually like the dignity of your own dignity and people's dignity. And then not only that, last two, and then so even now when we're coming here, I will also say that one of the most important things in order for you to gauge like your growth as a child of God is how much you're treasuring the truth. And you're walking away from lies. Devil is called, Jesus calls him the father of lies. So falsehood, that's what this passage is actually like. So that probably was more like the one of the landing pads. I really just wanted to make almost like, guys, what are we doing here? We're being conformed into his image. But what does his image entail? It means that truth is beaming out of us.
That's really cool, just because we don't typically think about the church in that type of sense, like that we are kind of like a beacon of truth. We're always talk about like we're a beacon of light, things of that into the culture and the surrounding areas. It's like, cool, yeah, but what does it look like to actually be that beacon of light? It's to be a beacon of truth. Yeah, everybody's going to have their own style of doing that. And that's a really cool thing. But actually being that and embodying the truth, and I took a note down because you mentioned something about reflecting the truth, and which is reflecting God, because God is truth. But then, you know, quoting or going back to Kilner in Dignity and Destiny, but it... He mentions that whenever we reflect God, we glorify him. And it's like, oh, cool. When I'm exuding truth and when I'm being a beacon of truth, I am glorifying God. Specifically because of that's who God is.
That's who God is, So that's awesome, man. That's awesome. That's, at the end of the day, really, like, it's like... And I want to encourage everyone, jump in on these midweek devotions because we're going to be looking at Psalm 119. And that has nothing but like really driving us in just a, in a way towards God's word, God's word. But like, and in there, like what you'll discover is that like it's his, at the end of the day, anchoring yourself in God, you're anchoring yourself in truth. And what that's meant to do is that it's meant to make you long for more and more truth. So what then that what it does is that it ends up making what I would call an authentic community. Like because you as you are sucking in truth, you're expelling falsehood.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
As you're sucking in truth, you're expelling falsehood. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, you know, gossip has no place there.
Mm-hmm.
Backstabbing has no place there. Doubting each other has no place. Like, mm-hmm. obviously, we're still being made in the image of God. Mm-hmm. But, like, looking and just seeing, like, really at the end of the day, I went and kind of just looked. There was I think it was Revelation chapter 19, 11.
Mm-hmm.
Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on him was the one called Faithful and True. In righteousness he judges, and he makes war. I just love the way at least even Jesus is named at his second and his coming again. He's still called Faithful
mm-hmm.
and True.
Yeah.
Like, so what does mm-hmm. it mean when we see him, we'll be like him?
Mm-hmm.
It means that, like, we will now be, we'll really embody that. Like, So it's one of those things where you see that, like, really just like where God himself should be the one we are pursuing over and over, you know. And this becomes like there's this verse that 1 Timothy 3:15 I was going to drive into, you know, and where Paul says, if I'm delayed, you will, he says this, if I delay, you may know. He's writing all those things.
Mm-hmm.
He says that you may know that what? How we ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the church of the living God, he describes it as? A pillar and buttress of truth,
mm-hmm.
of the truth. That just, it's like
yeah.
a pillar and buttress is like foundation of truth,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's just like, it's almost like he is actually really pushing hard, like in terms of like, and because after that, he says that like, man, this is the church. The church is meant to be this place where truth, the church is meant to be the place that preserves truth.
Mm-hmm.
Across ages.
Yeah.
Is there corruption that will come in?
Mm-hmm.
Is there deceitfulness and stuff? But that doesn't change his word, does it?
No.
The church is still meant to be the buttress of truth. And there
mm-hmm.
is actually the reliability of actually his word and the reliability of our faith in the fact that, like, that's actually... And the church being the buttress of truth means that we pursue truth to be known in mission
mm-hmm.
Through diving deep into the gospel, through our mission, making other people know. And you're gonna get to hear Sarah and how she did.
Mm-hmm.
How we pursue people to know truth in mission, and then we pursue truth to be known in our community as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah.
Where at the end of the day, we need to be able to protect each other from falsehood. So, mm-hmm. yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I, like, one of the things that I want to, like, just kind of end with
mm-hmm.
Is just the reassurance that you brought up in Revelation.
Mm.
Like, that is when that, like, Paul talks in 2 Corinthians 3.
Yeah.
And he talks about being transformed mm-hmm. or conformed to glory to glory.
Yeah, to glory, yeah. Yeah.
Like, that doesn't come to fruition mm-hmm. to the fullest until the second coming.
Yeah, the second. So it's yeah,
like,
yeah,
cool. It's like we're all a work in progress.
Yeah. There so you go.
Like,
yeah.
We need to remember that. So it's not like we're not looking at each other. It's like, well, I'm a Christian, so I'm the image of God. It's like, no, that's Jesus.
yeah,
I'm getting closer.
I'm getting closer. Yeah.
I'm getting closer and closer to mm-hmm. him by getting to know him.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So we're filling in more and more with truth, that's good.
So I just wanted to leave that there because it's a good ending point. That hopeful reassurance of the second coming.
That's good.
But yeah, and Raphael, thank you so much for this sermon, for everything that you do.
Yeah.
And make sure you stick around for the next part of this.
Yeah.
Where you're going to get to hear from Sarah. Sarah's awesome. I got to know and work with her a little bit on college or on the campus.
Yeah.
So yeah, stick around for that. Rafael, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have a good week. God bless.
All right, bye. Hey guys, I'm sitting here with Sarah Tillman, and Sarah is a member here at City Church. And not only that, she has served with crew here on campuses here in Williamsport, but also recently we got to send her to go and serve in Colombia, where she was serving crew. And so she recently came back. She's still serving even some more with crew. So Sarah, could you just kind of give us an update of just what was your time like in Colombia? Yeah.
Hard to update in a whole year, but I'll do the best I can.
Yeah.
Colombia was amazing. It was definitely not what I expected going in. Because as I may have mentioned before, I left, my family is from there. So I grew up learning Colombian culture. I grew up learning what ministry could potentially be. But it was eye-opening to be down there and to watch the Colombian staff serve and just see their heart and their excitement for the Lord and excitement for their country and their city to know Jesus. So we worked on 5 different campuses, and our purpose down there was to help them relaunch. So after the pandemic, it was a little difficult to get students to commit to come back to campus because many students don't have dorms. So they were living an hour away from campus and were commuters, and it was not the ideal situation to have students commit to Bible studies. So we were there to help them find times for Bible studies, help them meet students and find students who are on fire for the Lord. And praise the Lord, we had 4 communities launch on 4 different campuses.
Wow.
We saw 7 students come to know the Lord as a personal Savior.
That's awesome.
And got to do some really cool things with those students. Part of the ministry that they have that I love is they really have a heart for their city and serving the city that they're in. Because Colombia's been through a lot of really hard history.
So
they want to take their students and show them, like, we're the hands and feet of Christ in this city. We need to serve those around us. So we did 2 service projects while we were down there. One was to the poor community of Colombia. So Bogota is split up into stratums by tax brackets. So the farther north you go, the more expensive, the fancier it is. The farther south, the poorer it is. And most of our students are from the north area of Bogota, so we were able to take them to the southern end of Bogota, show them, hey, these are your neighbors, these are your friends, your family. And we got to bring groceries and just show them the impact that just stopping and talking or playing with these kids has an impact and can change people's lives. And through that, we were able to connect the poorer communities to a church that was trying to reach the community but never had like an inn. We were able to bring the pastor and introduce him to the families and be like, hey, they're here for you, they want to see you, they want to serve you. And then another project we were able to do, there's a park right next to the campus that I worked on where 7 different indigenous groups had moved. So they had to leave their land out in the Andes Mountains because it got too dangerous. So they moved to the city to ask the government for protection, and we're just living in tents in this park right outside of this campus. So again, we brought our students. We're like, hey, these are your neighbors. You walk by them every day to class. You see the conditions they're living in. And we had 70 students come in the rain just to play with the kids. We gave them empanadas and snacks and food to show them that we see them, we love them. And again, just it was fun to see the students realize how simple it is to show the love of Jesus. That it's not always sitting down and telling someone the gospel. Sometimes it's just being there and being present. And so I really hope to take that to wherever I end up in Baltimore. Because, I just see the impact that can have in loving your community. And the students, they may only be there for 4 short years, but they're a part of that community while they're there. And so that's really the heart of the Colombian ministries, just to serve their community and to see Jesus spread throughout. And it's very, very cool to be a part of that.
And I like that. I like the fact that, like, you guys were able to show up in a time of crisis, help set up some of the movements. Compass Ministry can be hard to set up. And so I love that, like, and how long were you there for?
I was there for 11 months.
Wow.
So it's very close to a year.
Mm-hmm.
Very close very to practical. It. So this is not like just kind of getting in, doing one thing. You really mm-hmm. got to be immersed in everything, setting up Bible studies,
mm-hmm.
but then also helping students to turn around so that they can actually like be able to serve, which is something that is so countercultural with how people see students lately,
mm-hmm.
like college students. Everybody thinks they are all inwardly focused, but really this is what I love about Crew, the fact that like you guys are showing them also that like, hey, you can also be an agent of the gospel in where you are, right where you are,
mm-hmm.
and then also just like connecting to the local church. So yeah, that's awesome. So mm-hmm. so what's next? What's coming up next? I know that that you're gonna be moving to a new post.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So when I was in Colombia, probably around January, mm-hmm. I started praying through like what's the next steps. I could have decided to stay in Colombia for another year
yeah.
and continue ministry there, or come back to stateside ministry. And after a lot of prayer and conversation with my team, I decided stateside ministry was where the Lord is calling me next.
Okay. Yeah.
In order to, take more Spanish classes, raise up students, and raise up awareness of the needs in these other countries, especially in Latin America.
Yeah.
So I am going to be moving to Baltimore, Maryland, okay. and working, again, on 5 different campuses down there.
Yeah.
Meeting with students, doing discipleship, basically what we did here in Williamsport.
Yeah.
But my vision for that, though, is to lead teams of students on short-term missions back to Colombia, because I've had that experience as a student going to Colombia,
okay.
which is what
yeah.
sent me to Colombia and to start with. But then being on the other side of it and receiving those teams in Colombia and seeing, oh, this is the impact that
yeah.
they can have, and
yeah.
seeing the aftermath of, like, our students were so excited after the U.S. teams came. They're like, oh, these students cared
yeah.
about us to leave their camp and to take their break and come see us.
Mm.
And so I know that, there's still a lot of need. There's still a lot of work to be done in Colombia. And so if I can raise up students from Baltimore and Maryland, Virginia area to be sent to Colombia, that's what I hope. That's where my heart is right now.
That's awesome. That's good. Well, we will definitely be praying for you on that. Which is probably going to be my next question in terms of like, okay, so what does continuing to support you mm-hmm. look like in terms of like, so just how can we continue to partner with you? Because
mm-hmm.
This is home. This is,
yes.
We're always just going to be very interested in what's happening in Sarah's life. And yeah, so what does that look like? How can we continue to really just kind of walk alongside you and,
mm-hmm.
Just continue to energize you to continue to move forward.
Prayer is the biggest thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I have the month of July to find mm-hmm. an apartment, find a car,
yeah.
find roommates in the city. I don't know. So just prayers over that process,
yeah.
that transition.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, I do have to raise some more support before mm-hmm. moving to Baltimore, because the difference in cost of living in Colombia versus a city
in
the States
is a whole other level. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It's just a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to spend this month before transferring to Baltimore to raise
mm-hmm.
support.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just either for prayer support, financial support. If you know people who would be interested to be involved in ministry towards Baltimore students, but also Colombia and Latin America, connecting me with those people would
yeah.
also be a huge help.
That's awesome.
As I transition this summer over
yeah.
to a new team.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, I really want to encourage you and just commend you. Like, this is like, what you are doing is very commendable in terms of, I know, number one, it makes Jesus' heart glad.
Mm-hmm.
The gladness of, like, the fact that you are spending, you know, a lot of people don't know this. You have a degree. She can bake. She can bake amazing. Like, I could see you in Cupcake Wars, like, just doing crazy stuff. But you do have, but then you felt the Lord calling you to go and do Compass Ministry. And a ton of times I see people saying, hey, this is what God is calling me.
Mm-hmm.
And but it fizzles out. So I want to commend just your stick-to-itness and your
mm-hmm.
faithfulness in that, and just like really going, and I'm sure you've seen just amazing things God has done mm-hmm. through you, and then really also just the fact that, like, even today we can still have young people like you who I'm old now, so I can say young people.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, we can have people fully abandoning themselves to Jesus and mm-hmm. his cause and his mission. And I'm excited over what God is going to continually do. And I want to tell you, man, like, I see you as the, probably one of the most richest people, like, in terms of that. Like, mm-hmm. in terms of, you have no idea how much the impact the last 11 months has done
mm.
and how much impact, obviously, like, you did here.
Yeah.
You know, some of the students that graduated this semester, students you discipled,
yeah.
And they're going to go do great things, love Jesus even more. But at the same time, obviously, I want to encourage all of us mm-hmm. To really jump in and support her in terms of, like, prayer and also financially as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that we can see more and more people get to know Jesus. So
that'd be great.
So thank you so much for sharing with us. And yeah,
thank
this
you.
This is awesome. We're looking forward to hearing, continue to hear from you even more and more.
For sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, God bless. Thank you so much for listening. Once again, Sarah, and we usually in our foyer, we usually have her newsletters and stuff, and so make sure that you stop by. You get to hear more and more, and you keep actually supporting her and praying for her as well. So God bless.